The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
Welcome to episode number 79 of the LSR Podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gambling industry. And on this Thanksgiving week, I'm joined by just a single of those brightest minds in Dustin Gowker. You can follow him on Twitter at Dustin Gowker. If you want to follow me, I don't know why you would, at Matt Brown M2. And of course, we appreciate you guys going in and subscribing to our YouTube page and going into wherever you listen to podcasts. And we're on every single place that you find podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review. We really do appreciate all of that as well. We're going to hit on some state updates and what's going on there. We're going to talk about some numbers coming out of Nevada. We're going to talk about, you know, some interesting angles from, you know, really the We joke about it tons of times here on the podcast about, you know, hashtag integrity fees, but something went down for the Thanksgiving slate tomorrow that is just interesting. And again, just further reason why these leagues want to continue to distance themselves, in our opinion, from anything that has to do with money tied to the actual gambling on game sponsorships and stuff. By all means, go to town, but any sort of money generated from what's being wagered. But Dustin, let's kick things off here, starting with Canada. That we're going outside of our own border here, though we can't go to Canada right now. They don't want us. But what's going on as far from a gambling standpoint?
So yeah, this is pretty big news, I think, for sports betting in Canada and anybody who bets on sports in Canada currently. We spent a crash course in learning parliamentary procedure in Canada and what this means. But there's a bill that's now in Canadian Parliament that would legalize single game sports betting, or at least get rid of the ban on single game sports betting, much like we did back in 2018 here in the U.S. with the Supreme Court getting rid of that ban. So here, Parliament would be moving to get rid of that ban and then let provinces do this on their own. If they want to legalize it, you can. You have parlay betting already in Canada, but this would allow for full legal single game sports betting in Canada. And this is kind of a big deal because it's a quote unquote government bill. This means that it's not a done deal, but it almost means it's a done deal, just the way the things work in Canada's government. So we're looking at possibly, you know, having legal options there in Canada. And you know, it's a little bit confusing for folks because there's plenty of ways to bet on sports in Canada already. You have the black market offshore sites that sometimes serve it. You have like a Bet365, which serves as Canada's a gray market. But I think this is good news for Canada, and hopefully will lead to the expansion of sports betting sometime next year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, you know, you and I know just because we're so tied to this industry, but I don't know if a lot of people know, but you know, it is, there's a lot of gamblers up in Canada, actually. I mean, there are, you know, people who are, it's one of the hotbeds for poker. It's certainly, you know, we've even had some expats from here move up there so that they're able to continue to play poker. They're definitely sports bettors as well. We know that there's a huge correlation between that as well. So I imagine the Canadian market, once it does get legalized and gets going, is going to be pretty robust. I mean, the population only about the size, you know, the whole country of kind of like California. But even with that, there's still going to be, I think, some pretty good numbers coming out of there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's still a lot of devils in the detail. Again, the what's happening at the federal level in Canada is just getting rid of that ban, and then it's going to be up to the provinces. So what happens in Canada is there are lotteries often running stuff as a monopoly, which, as we know from listening to this podcast ad nauseum, that is not ideal. So if that's what happens, you know, maybe a little less exciting, but you will have a legal option that's run through Canada. You know, hopefully that some of the provinces, the bigger ones, look at this and say, if we really want to compete with a gray market or black market site, we need to be opening this up beyond just the lottery. So a lot of devil in the details, but this is, you know, something that Canada has been looking at for years, and it looks like it's going to actually happen here in the not too distant future.
Let's take a look at numbers. We love numbers. We're going to continue to update everybody on the new numbers as they come out, because we're trying to see, you know, we're monitoring not only the growth patterns of some of these states, but also what's going on as far as, you know, the landscape of the world right now. And is it affecting these states? Is it or is it not? And, you know, look, good numbers coming out of Nevada, no doubt here, Dustin, but I think this is something we predicted, or you predicted, you know, a couple of years ago that it was only a matter of time until Nevada became the number two market. And then, you know, as some of these other states came online, they might even fall to three or four. And I think now we are kind of starting to see the clear pattern that Nevada is pretty much the number two market now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, well, let's start here. Nevada had a record month, which is obviously great for them in October. $660 million in handle from sports betting. That's better than any month they've ever had. I think last November was their biggest month ever. So there's that. Start there, though. But, you know, we've talked about the numbers in other states already. We have New Jersey with $800 million in October. So it's pretty clear. I think that genie's out of the bottle. I think we're looking at New Jersey is basically just always going to be bigger than Nevada anymore. If New Jersey is ahead of Nevada in the prime of football season, which is, you know, what we historically have seen in Nevada be their biggest months, then that's not changing anytime soon, I don't think. So Nevada is definitely now just the number two market to New Jersey. Obviously, there's more people in New Jersey. New Jersey has New York market, but I think, you know, I think Vegas has styled itself and Nevada has styled itself as the leader on this. And, you know, that's, you know, it's not going to be that. And, you know, you can look at the other numbers and you're going to see this start to change. You know, you're right. It's not going to just be number two. This is going to be, Nevada is only going to be like a top five market. Eventually we have Pennsylvania with $525 million in October. So it's not hard to imagine this time next year, or even maybe year later this year, as more brands and, you know, Barstool and PA continues to grow, like that Pennsylvania might pass Nevada here in the next couple of months, and if not so, 2021. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. And I know we hammer this, but this is like, Nevada is going down to limited capacity, not having people sign up. You're still having people sign up in person for an online sports betting account. That is absolutely idiotic policy. Whether Nevada changes anytime soon or not, who knows? But it's pretty obvious that if Nevada is going to, you know, compete for being one of the largest sports betting markets, it's going to have to change that someday.
Yeah, I think that this is just, like you mentioned, this is another reduction in capacity in the physical casinos, and it's just another barrier to entry, right? I mean, there is also a full-time mask mandate anytime you're inside the casinos, and there, you know, as we know, Dustin, there are people out there who just don't want to wear a mask or don't want to wear masks in public and stuff, and so there's just all kinds of barriers in Nevada to getting new customers. Now, the people that already have accounts are betting a lot. We're seeing that in the numbers right here, but getting new people to sign up and making it easy for even people who are still traveling, who are still visiting, you know, there are people that are driving into Vegas from Arizona and Utah and California and stuff like that, and making it easy for them to sign up. It's just not. And so hopefully there was supposed to be a meeting. We talked about it here on the pod a couple of weeks ago that got postponed, where that was going to be a topic of conversation. Hopefully they are looking at this and seeing what's going on, and with the uncertainty of everything that's going on in our country right now, that they will, I'm going to say smarter decisions will be made here as to how you can actually grow this market, as opposed to, I mean, look, the numbers are, like you said, it's a record, but the deal is like, it's a record that could be bigger. Right. It's like, don't be okay with the fact that you're setting a record for numbers when that number could be bigger if you just made one small change.
Yeah. And you talk to sportsbook operators more in Nevada more than I do. And they're like, oh, these are huge months. Okay. They're huge months for you, but you're falling behind. Like, again, there's lots of play here. So you can't just say, you know, Nevada doesn't have equal population and, you know, tourism not quite as big as it is. But, you know, it would be so much easier if every tourist who came to Vegas or Nevada could say, hey, just sign up on an account. You don't have to go, you know, get some cash out and put it in go to the actual sports book. You're going to see your numbers grow significantly. And again, the share of it in Nevada versus other states is still, we're still, I think we're under 60% mobile betting in the breakdown for Nevada for October. So that's, again, that number is going to go up and also grow the market if you make it easier and to sign up and to fund your accounts just generally in Nevada.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hopefully some of the powers that be will understand that. Some of the guys that have been fighting this for the longest time, you know, namely Station Casinos, we assume that William Hill is not going to be on their side this go around, with William Hill now getting involved in on the strip and having physical books on the strip. That was their big thing for the longest time, was like, oh, we can't compete with the people on the strip and yada, yada, yada. Well, you know, you've got books on the strip now. We assume that that's not going to be the case for those guys. So we'll see, but interesting though, record month, but still trails New Jersey by a really big amount here. Let's do some updates on some states here. Start out with Ohio.
Yeah, nothing huge to report here, but we do have this bill that continues to be in play. It's got a hearing, and it was a very short meeting, only like 10 minutes, and the bill moved on. Everybody's trying to get this done before the end of the year. It's hard to kind of handicap exactly what's going to happen in Ohio, but as we said in the past, this is we're going to lose some of the sponsors here after this year in Ohio. So there's some thought that if it doesn't happen in the short term, in this, during this interim period, lame duck session between at the end of the year here, that if we don't get it done, Ohio could be waiting more than just 2021. You know, you kind of assume, oh, it'll, if it doesn't get done now, it'll get done in 2021. I don't know if that's an automatic at this point. So Ohio, not great. We also have an update on Massachusetts. Things still aren't looking great there, but we do have we had a letter of a coalition of sportsbooks and leagues, as we've seen many places, say, hey, we want sports betting. So this was the signatories on this letter to folks, to a committee in the Massachusetts legislature, DraftKings, FanDuel, MGM, which has a physical casino in Massachusetts, the Patriots, the Red Sox, and the PGA Tour, all on board with sports betting in Massachusetts. You know, that's a good sign, but we also have the dynamic of, we have two other casinos that are pitching a different way for Massachusetts sports betting to happen. We have, it's looking less and less likely that Massachusetts is going to legalize it as part of their budget process here at the end of the year. So again, I think we're looking at next year, and it's kind of what we're doing for all of these. There are slim chances of things getting done in Massachusetts and Ohio, but likely not in 2020.
So let's change gears. We talk mostly sports betting here on the podcast, but this was, you know, when you started the site so many years ago, it was mainly focused on DFS and how that was going to be legalized and spread across the country. And one of the states that has been, at least for, you know, since you and I have been covering this for the longest amount of time, has really been one of the states that has made a lot of news, strictly because it's always been very confusing as to what's going on in Texas. They had it, they didn't have it, it came back. We don't even know why it kind of came back. All kinds of weird gray area stuff there in Texas, but it looks like maybe there's a little bit of clarity on the way.
Well, who knows? But there is a bill to legalize daily fantasy sports. Now, if you're in Texas, you're probably saying, wait, what? I'm already playing DFS, DraftKings and FanDuel and some of the others already accept players in Texas. But this goes back to, I think, all the way back to 2016, when the Attorney General was one of the many AGs across the country that said he believed that DFS consisted of illegal gambling under state law. Now, that's, you know, there's been an ongoing court case with DraftKings that I think is still active, but not really going anywhere involving this. And it's still, this is a gray area like a lot of places, but it hasn't really, you know, it's kind of been off the radar everywhere. You know, same kind of dynamic exists in both California and Florida, both places where DFS is a little bit of a gray area, but where fantasy sports sites do take customers. So, you know, this would have been breaking news, stop the presses several years ago that Texas had a DFS bill again. They only meet every 2 years, so and meet for a very short period of time. So whether this gets through, who knows? But, you know, obviously ticking off more regulatory states for DFS just makes things easier and you don't have to worry about things. There still continues to be an outside chance that Texas will look at sports betting. There's rumors certainly that the some of the sports owners there, in addition to obviously the major players in online sports betting, would like to see sports betting happen. And you only get one crack at it every 2 years in Texas, so they'll take a crack at it. But it's, Texas, a place where there's not a lot of gambling already, basically some bingo halls and some card rooms, and that's about it. There's a talk of trying to legalize casinos there too, because we have casinos kind of all around them as well, and tribal casinos. But so we'll see. But the DFS one, we actually have a bill, and we'll see what happens with that next year.
And to close things out here on this kind of special edition, we wanted to get some news out before everybody takes off for the holidays here. And this is more of just kind of a discussion with us, but Thursday Night Football, and we talk about integrity fees tons of times here on this podcast, and how ridiculous they are, and how we think that this is a really slippery slope for these leagues and stuff. And by and large, we've kind of seen some of that go away. We hear it, we hear its ugly head come back up every now and then. But on Thursday Night Football, Dustin, so now we have a game that was supposed to go off at prime time. It was up on betting boards all week long. A lot of things that people do in sports betting is based off of news, and betting is affected by news. Specifically, betting lines is affected by news. This is a game that opened up between the Ravens and the Steelers as the Steelers being 2-point favorites. Well, the news of coronavirus comes out on the Ravens side of things. The line quickly moves to 4. We saw the line move all the way to 5.5, and people are reacting and acting off of news that is very normal in sports betting. It's unique to this year that it's sometimes it's COVID news, but injury news has always moved lines, has always made people go in and bet a certain side and everything like that. And so everyone's betting this game, expecting this game to go off on Thursday night. And then we get news on Wednesday morning that the NFL is going to bump this game from Thursday evening until Sunday. And so what that does is, for the people that were put on kind of the reserve COVID list earlier in the week, it gives them a chance, if they were just contact traced, if they weren't actually positives, that they could actually play in this game now, as opposed to where they were definitely going to have to miss due to the protocols that the NFL has in place for being placed on contact tracing. And so it's just when we start to look at things like that. So now the game and the dynamic of what people were betting on leading up into this game today has now completely shifted, because players that were definitely going to be out on Thursday might not be out now on Sunday. And so it's just these cases keep coming up. And I hope that these leagues are taking note every time that something like this happens, to where you really just don't want to be directly tied to the actual money being wagered on the games. Just continue to take the sponsorships, continue to take the things like that. But stuff like this, where you're making just an arbitrary decision, I mean, this was completely on the NFL to decide to postpone this game, and it affects a betting market pretty massively. And we've seen time and time again with all of these things happening. And, again, this is just the most recent example of why they really should never bring this up again.
Yeah, I mean, again, they want a seat at the table, and they constantly tell us, especially pre-COVID, that, integrity of the game, most important thing. And Look, the world that sports are existing on is on a razor's edge all the time right now. Like, the NFL has gotten through most of a season with a lot of rescheduling and, being maybe a little loosey goosey with trying to get games in and just, letting people play. But you're right. It's like, it's hard to look at this and it's so hard, number one, to book this. And if you're not a partner of the leagues in this, like, the leagues are just they're doing whatever they need to do to get games. Great for them. But on the sports betting side, it wreaks havoc, right? It wreaks havoc if you're a bettor. It wreaks havoc if you're booking this stuff. And it does make you think about when the league say we need to be a huge part of what sports betting is. Like, yes, take your sponsorships, take whatever else, but you you're right now you're manipulating what's happening in the sports betting markets by, you know, just trying to get the games in. Again, that's no fault right. of theirs, but you know, if you want that seat at the table, like that's because there's a different dynamic, I think, that comes on for sure.
Exactly. You have to understand the implications of your actions, right? If you're, if that is something that you are now directly tied to and a part of, like right now, like we said, sponsorships, the betting lounges, the different things like that, by all means, go to town on all that stuff. But if you're actually taking a piece of what's going on, you have now directly changed how that market is going to function and the money that has already been poured into that market. And so it is just a very, very tricky and slippery slope when we're talking about all this. And look, we don't know when we're going to be out of the woods with all this coronavirus stuff. I mean, yeah, it seems promising that there's all these vaccines that look to be doing well and all that. But I mean, who knows how long it's going to actually take us to get back to quote unquote normal. And so we could be dealing with this. I mean, we're definitely going to be dealing with it in NBA season. It starts in a month. So right. So, you know, it's just you look at these things and it's kind of like, guys, hopefully you're understanding and you're seeing what's going on here and realizing all of these potential pitfalls that we've been preaching from the get-go is real. And certainly, you know, we didn't foresee a global pandemic, but these are also things that just, hey, weird things happen, weird things pop up. And it's even more reason for them to distance themselves.
Yeah. And look, and even stepping back even further, just look at sports in general. Like, again, we can quibble about what's a real season, what's not. I'd argue the Major League Baseball season, even though we got to play the two teams at the end who were the best in the regular season, that was a glorified exhibition. We played 60 games where we usually play 162. Like, it's, you know, you got the season done. Great. That's not some amazing. That's not the quote unquote integrity of the game that we like to hear from Major League Baseball and all the other leagues. They tried to get a season done. Again, I don't blame them for that. But this is not like you're not playing the season at the sake of integrity. If integrity was actually your most biggest concern, you just wouldn't play the games, right? That's obviously BS. This is business. Everybody needs to make money. We want to have games and we want to watch games. Sure. That's where it gets. And you start looking at college football, college basketball. Again, like college basketball, like I think I saw like some little over 10% of the teams are on pause right now. There are games already. The season starts today. There are already games being canceled or postponed and what have you. College football, the interesting thing I saw was Wisconsin is now ineligible for the Big Ten title game, and Northwestern now just needs to win one of its last three games to get to the Big Ten title game. These are things that are in the world we live in, and fine, yes, let's play the games. But this is not like, quote unquote, integrity is not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to get games and play and make money. The integrity of the game is kind of thrown out the window, at least, you know, not on the bet gambling side, but just like the product that you're seeing on the field and on the courts. That's just always in the back of my mind when I'm watching sports and I hear and I remember what all the leagues and the NCAA have told us that integrity is so important. But again, they're just trying to get games in, and I don't blame them for that. Right.
Yeah, I'm with you. And as we see this continue to play out, and from a sportsbook standpoint, I mean, this has to be taking a toll on them as well. I mean, all the big bettors that I know, especially for college basketball and the NBA, as it's going to get going here in a month and all that, like, nobody's placing futures bets, right? Like, nobody wants to have any money locked into what is just a gigantic cloud of uncertainty over all of these sports and how things are going to play out, how many games are actually going to get played, or what kind of format are we going to get when we get to the playoffs, and how's that all going to work? And so, you know, I, from these books as well, you know, I mean, this has been pretty terrible for those guys as they kind of make it through all this as well. The money that they're normally getting on these markets that they love to get in these futures bets, because again, only one team wins. So like every dollar you get on every other team is profit, you know? So it's affecting those guys as well. And I've talked to a lot of them. They're like, yeah, you know, I mean, our handle on these futures markets are just a fraction of what they've been in years past. And so it's just in all this weird times, all this weird uncertainty and things like that. I like the fact where we sit right now, Dustin. I mean, everything is not completely ideal, but I like where we are, and I hope nothing changes.
Yeah, and from the betting perspective, yeah, I mean, there's opportunities, obviously, as a bettor. If you have, you see this information quickly, there are opportunities, but it's also a little bit bet at your own risk, right? Like you said, with Thursday night game, you're betting with imperfect information and with things able to change and times and who's going to play. All you're betting with imperfect information. Always remember that, even if you think you have an edge. Like, and again, it explains even with the books, who are fairly sophisticated at this. I'd imagine it's a mess generally trying to deal with the, you know, I can't keep straight what's going on a daily basis on whether something's canceled or not. Like that's something you didn't even have to really worry about that much as a bookmaker, and now you're like,
right,
just as the game going off, do we have to avoid bets? Do we have stipulations that allow this game to go on? Like, and what I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Superbook had this one, they changed the rule for college basketball that the game doesn't have to take place at the original venue, that the action is good no matter what, or I think that's what it was. But it's just weird, interesting times for sports betting and booking and betting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be interesting. I mean, look, I'm staying off of the college basketball season by and large. You know, it's just something I don't want to be involved in. With all the uncertainty and things like that, I can't really get involved with any of that. And I feel bad for some of these, you know, guys out there. I mean, some of these books, I mean, Dustin, we've already seen it. I mean, like, we're in a time of consolidation, right? I mean, like, there are going to be other companies buy other companies in the next 18 months. We just know that. We've seen it happen in every single facet of these of gambling that you and I have covered, right? I mean, like, when there was the online poker boom, and then there was consolidation. There was the DFS boom, and then there was consolidation. We've already started to see some consolidation in sports betting. I imagine we're going to see more of it over the next 18 months, you know, some acquisitions, some mergers, some whatever it might be. And so weird times. And hopefully it doesn't cause too much wreckage throughout the course of the industry.
Yeah. Give me the vaccine and stick it in my eyeball or wherever. I'll take it whenever when we get it, please.
Seriously. If I can get back to normalcy, I'll take the vaccine twice. Like, I don't care. One in each arm, stick me twice. I don't even care. I'm just ready to get back to normal as soon as humanly possible. Guys, everything we talk about over at LegalSportsReport.com, so be sure, head over there. And anything that you have questions on, you're going to find it over there as well. You're going to find Dustin Adams' great work, Matt Waters, everybody's, Brad Allen, some really good work going on over there. So be sure and take in all that stuff. Subscribe, rate, and review, and head over to the YouTube page. Go ahead and give us a subscription over there as well. Whenever you get some time, follow Dustin at Dustin Gawker. And again, if you hate yourself on this Thanksgiving, you can follow me at Matt Brown M2. Happy holidays to everyone out there. For Dustin, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just $1 every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.